Churches around the world today, Christians alike, we remember the resurrection of the Lord. I'd like us to just picture a little bit and ask ourselves then, what has that got to do? How does that impact my life? It was a Friday, right? And Jesus was led to the cross. In fact, for most people, it was a normal Friday. Even for the Roman soldiers, it was quite normal. It's not that, you know, you crucify someone every Friday or something like that. But it was a normal thing for the Romans to go about their duties in erecting a cross and nailing someone to the cross. Not anybody, but a criminal. And so for most people, it would have been somewhat normal. The streets were filled with people. Human beings are like that. Every time there's a commotion, whether you agree, you don't agree, whether you're for it or not, you just want to go and have a look. And even today, sometimes we are like that. We see a crowd, we think, oh, what's going on? We go and have a look. Whether, you know, it's a sale or whether it's an accident. You know how something happens along the roadside, everybody slows down, everybody stops. Just to have a look. And probably the majority of the people there, whether they knew the people that were going to be crucified or not, went to have a look. For the Romans, the soldiers, it was part and parcel of their duty. But that day, something was different. They were going to crucify a man that, as far as they knew, was not a criminal. And so at the back of their mind, they were probably wondering, this guy criminal or not criminal? Because for as long as I know, I've been crucifying criminals. Perhaps there's turmoil going on in their life, or in their heart right then, in their minds. Criminal or not? As they thought about it, I'm sure the answer became more and more obvious that this man was different. Luke chapter 23. Last week we talked about Passion Week, right? How when Jesus, when he entered Jerusalem, the first thing that he was concerned about was the temple. That the people did things right. Not for themselves, which was what was happening at that point of time. You know, they were concerned about how they can make more money and self-gain. And the Lord addressed that. My house shall be a house of prayer. The Gospels all talk about the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I'm just going to pick one. I'm going to pick from Luke, mainly. Chapter 23 and verse 44. It was about a 6 hour, darkness came over the whole land until the 9th hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Surely this was the righteous man. You read in the other Gospels, it tells us of how Jesus, when he had cried out, breathed his last, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." There was a violent earthquake. The curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. No, top to bottom, not bottom up, but top down. And the centurion, the Roman guard, the Roman soldiers, this particular person, seeing all that, said, "Surely this is the Son of God." The other Gospels record that. He said, "Surely this is the Son of God." And Luke says, "This is a righteous man, for sure." For all his life as a Roman soldier, he has been crucifying criminals. And on this day, he stands there, he sees what has happened, he hears what Jesus has said on the cross. He reflects upon what he has done and says, "Surely, surely this is the Son of God, a righteous man." I want us to today take some time to look at what Jesus did just before he ascended. You know, last week we talked about, you know, when he entered Jerusalem, what's that first thing? At the death and resurrection, what's that first thing? Has that thought about it? You know, what did God do the very first thing when Jesus died? He tore the veil. What was he concerned about? Once again, the things in the temple. Why? Because it's a reflection of our relationship with God. And in those days, there was a curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is where the presence of God dwelt. You can't go in there. Only the high priest can enter with sacrifice, with blood, once a year. And when Jesus died on the cross, it was as if God is saying, "Forget this separation." And he ripped the curtain top down. So that we can have access into the presence of God. The Bible says that we are priests. So we have been doing our Bible study, right? Releasing the priesthood anointing. We have been given that privilege. And all priests had access to the holy place. Not to the Holy of Holies or the most holy place. All the priests at that point of time had access to the holy place. But they couldn't go in. Only the high priest could go in. And when Jesus died, it was as if God is saying, "Forget that partition. Rip it out. Now that you have access to that holy place, you from henceforth will have access, because there is no more partition, to the most holy place, where the presence of God dwells." I want to talk about confidence today. Hope. Because at that point of time, a lot of people gave up hope. They were looking for a king, a Messiah, someone who would come to deliver the Jews from the oppression, from the rule of the Romans. Where is hope? You know, it is said that when you hear the words of a dying man, very often you will hear remorse. You will hear things like, I wish. I wish it would have been better. I wish I did this and that. And often we hear of stories of people at their deathbed saying, I wish I could have done so much more. I would have done better. And at the same time, we also hear this. This is very common. We also hear them releasing their wishes simply because I didn't achieve it, so I hope that you can. And people in their deathbed pass on what they hope would happen. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said seven things. And we're not going to go through, you know, what Jesus said on the cross. But in every instance, we see a dying man speak confidence. The first thing that he said on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And these guys, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. When he spoke that, he spoke with authority, with confidence. Towards the end, before he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, he said, it is finished. It is a cry of confidence and victory. Done. Everything that I've come to do on this earth, done. Finish. And when Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, the curtain was torn. That veil was torn. An act of God allowing us to come into His presence. Those of us who were here on Friday when we came for our all-night prayer, Saturday morning, one of the things that, you know, the Lord brought to mind was, hey, why so downcast? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Because He delivers us. I want to look at some scripture that talks about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read on in Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared, went to the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away, but when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. And suddenly two men, clothes gleamed like lightning, stood beside them. In fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, and it's interesting that they say this, why? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Verse 8, then they remembered his words. A sad day, early in the morning. Women took spices to put over the body. Some more body missing. Where is hope? And the angel said, why do you look for the living among the dead? These women, when they woke up early in the morning, they had prepared to go and visit a dead body. You know, sometimes in our lives, we wake up going to a hopeless situation. Whether we wake up, go to the office, or, you know, go to school, go to college. At the back of our mind, we're saying, this is something that we have to do, but where is hope? It's as if that we wake up, we walk, we prepare ourselves to go encounter dead bodies. And some of you can identify with that. You walk into the office, feels like, you know, zombies all walking around. No life. No hope. And perhaps this was that situation with the ladies, with the women going to the tomb. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Jesus is alive. And so in order to have that confidence, in order to have that hope, we need to focus whatever situation that we are going to, we need to say, hey, there is hope. You read on, in verse 13 onwards. Now the same day, these two men were going to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were walking with each other. They were talking with each other about everything that has happened. Now, obviously, they're talking about what happened over the weekend. The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up. Now, he's alive, right? He came up, walked along them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Then he asked them, what are you discussing together? They stood still, faces downcast. The Bible tells us, faces downcast. No hope. They were talking about a situation that had no hope. Faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, called him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things, he asked, about Jesus? They replied, he was a prophet, powerful in his word. Indeed. And he goes on to explain what happened. Sad situation. And then Jesus, verse 25, says, how foolish, slow to heart to believe the prophets have spoken. Did not Christ have to suffer? And he began to explain things. Verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. What was Jesus doing then? He opened the scriptures and he began to explain the word of God. And I come back to this in a bit. Verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us. For it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went and stayed in with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then, verse 31, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. Verse 32, and they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up, returned at once to Jerusalem. Now this is 7 miles away, right? Returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus recognized by them when he broke the bread. These guys were walking. They walked for 7 miles. This story reminds me of my Penang trip, where we walked the whole day and the whole night. But hey, these guys had Jesus, and Jesus was just, you know, opening up the scriptures, walked for 7 miles, then recognized it was Jesus, so excited, got up, ran back 7 miles to tell the good news. Did not our hearts burn? Hope is found in the Lord. And it begins with opening the scriptures. Today I want us to really consider, if you look at these passages, right? Jesus, what he was trying to do is, do you remember? That's what it's basically saying. For the women that came to the tomb, verse 6, he is not here, he's risen. Remember. Verse 8, then they remembered his words. Verse 27, with these guys. He, from the beginning, from the Moses to all the prophets, he began to explain what was said to the scripture. What was Jesus trying to do? He's trying to say, hey, remember. This is what the word of God says. Verse 31. Did not our hearts burn? Their eyes were open to recognize him. He disappeared. And they said to each other, verse 32, did not our hearts burn? While he talked to us and opened the scriptures. Something happens when we remember the word of God. Something happens. There is hope that comes when we remember the word of God. Today being Resurrection Sunday, I don't want us to just remember the cross. But I believe that God is challenging us, wanting us to have hope in the midst of whatever situation that we are in right now. And hope comes when we remember the scriptures, when we open up the word of God, because God does something. For these two guys walking on the road to Emmaus, their testimony is this. Didn't our hearts burn? What does that mean? Didn't our hearts burn within us? And that's basically left to our imagination, you know. What that means. Your heart beat faster? Maybe. You know, sometimes we are excited, the heart pump a whole lot faster. Maybe that's what they felt. Maybe there was a deep cry within them. Something's happening. And all they could say was, hey, something's burning inside, you know, our hearts are burning. Indescribable. When we encounter God, when we open up the scriptures, something happens within us. There is this burning that gives us hope. For these two guys, something changed. That hope was revived to the extent that after walking 7 hours, get up, run back 7 hours. 7 miles, not 7 hours. 7 miles. Get up, run back. It's further than crossing the bridge, by the way. So are you trying to picture that? Run across, walk across to Butterworth and then run back. Something burned. Burning. Because the power of God, through the scriptures, does something in us. Many times, you read the Gospels, when Jesus appeared to them, they were afraid. And they were afraid. Let's keep going. You know, then Jesus appears to his disciples. Verse 36 onwards. Verse 37, it says, they were startled. He comes in verse 36, while they were still talking amongst themselves, Jesus appears to them. He says, peace be with you. They were startled, frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands. My feet. Jesus came and said, I'm alive. Why do you doubt? Why so downcast? Why trouble? And he sits down and has a meal with them. And then he opened up the scriptures again. He said this in verse 44. This is why I told you when I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. What did Jesus do? He came to a crowd, the disciples who were in doubt, who were downcast, who had no hope. Even after these two guys came running and said, you know, it's true, Jesus is alive. They were still troubled. They still didn't have hope. Jesus comes and says, hey, come on, I'm alive. You need proof? Nah, touch. But then he does something else. He goes to scripture again. And he explains to them, these things need to be fulfilled. From the law, from the prophets, from the Psalms, these are the things that need to be fulfilled. He opened their minds, verse 45, so they could understand scripture. And he told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer, rise again from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. You see, what Jesus is saying here is this. The Holy Spirit is going to come. The amazing thing about the Lord is that He doesn't just come and say, it's true, I'm going to give you hope. That's it. You know, so be hopeful, everybody. Wake up in the morning, go to your office, smile, huh? Lots of hope there. If you know hope, read your Bible, because that's where the hope comes from. But he takes it one step further. He says this, I'm going to send you. You, every single one of you, you're going to experience that hope for yourself. And it's not just an experience of hope, but I'm going to give you a commission. I'm going to give you a charge. Turn with me to Matthew. The thing about, you know, God giving us a charge is this. I say this over and over again. It happens all the time. We're going to read the account of Mark. And I want to draw our attention to this, you know. The disciples, and I want to say this again. No hope. Everybody was, you know, in doubt, downcast. What's happening? Where's Jesus? And every time you see Jesus, after the resurrection, he comes to them. He says, hey, peace be with you. Well, what's happening? Come on. Wake up. There is hope. I'm alive. Mark chapter 16. Verse 9. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. Okay, this is the situation. No hope, right? Mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe. Note how frequent this phrase comes out. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country, alright? These are the two that we talked about early on. This returned to report to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, verse 14, Jesus appeared to the eleven, as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe. Verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. The Great Commission, as we know it, is found in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, let's turn to that. But before we go to the Great Commission, let's look at verse 5. The angel said to the women, same story. Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Fear, doubt was very prominent. Verse 10. Jesus said to them, get it? Jesus met them, and the first thing he says to them was this, do not be afraid. So you see, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, the Gospels, certain things were very prominent. One, there was doubt, no hope. Two, they were afraid. Maybe because there was no hope. Three, they did not believe. And Mark specifically emphasized that a couple of times. He even said that, you know, he even emphasized that Jesus rebuked the disciples for their lack of faith. for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe. That's what Mark says. Verse 14, right? For their stubborn refusal to believe. But every time you read that, go down a couple of verses later, in Matthew, the same thing. These women, these disciples were afraid, but then you go down to the end of the chapter, he gives them the great commission, go. Mark emphasized this. Cannot believe. The women never believe. The disciples never believe. But then after that, he goes on to say, Jesus said this, go. Jesus' resurrection begins a new phase in our relationship with God. It doesn't just say, all right, we have access. The veil of the temple was torn. We have access to the holy presence of God. It doesn't just stop there. Because Jesus comes back to a group of fearful, doubting people and says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And it says, go and make disciples of all nations. Everything's going to change because I'm going to empower you. It's as if Jesus is saying everything's going to change in this world, and that change will begin with you. Fear, gone. Lack of faith, gone. Doubt, gone. Foundation of that would be remember what the word says. Every first Sunday of the month we come and we remember the Lord's Supper. We remember the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of the Lord. And today being Resurrection Sunday, I want us to look at these emblems in a fresh new light. Because it's not just Jesus' death and resurrection. It's also His commission. He died in confidence that something new is going to happen. And while the people had no hope, while they were afraid and doubted, Jesus gave them a commission. And I believe that that's what God wants us to think about today. Some of us have been Christians for a long time. So much so that, you know, Resurrection Sunday is, well, we should be remembering Jesus' resurrection every day, right? That's right. But we forget that this is the beginning point of the many things, of the great things that God has in store for us. This is the beginning point for hope. And so I'm going to leave us with this question. What are we going to do with the cross? What are we going to do with the cross? The Roman soldier looked up and said, surely this is a righteous man. Surely there's something changed in him. Maybe for most people in the community, well, the Romans are going to hang someone again. Let's go have a look. And after that, they go home to their normal life, nothing happened. It's as if you're driving along the road, you saw an accident or something like that. Slow down. Let's go have a look. Walk away. Oh, accident. Maybe you'll talk about it later. You know, when you meet your friends, hey, saw accident, ah, yeah, yeah. Maybe for the most part of the community, walk around. You saw, you went to see the crucifixion, ah, yeah, 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 yeah. Actually, he's a nice guy, ah. But to a small group of people who had no hope, Jesus came, showed himself, and said, I'm going to give you hope. But not only that, I'm going to give you a commission. I'm going to give you a call. I'm going to give you a vision. I'm going to empower you. Hey, something has to change in your life. The cross must do that. When you go to school tomorrow, go to college tomorrow, you go to work tomorrow, if you're not doing any one of these things, if you're staying at home tomorrow, the cross must cause us to look back at Scripture again. And say, hey, there's something more than just this life. There is something more. And we got to take it to the next level. In the midst of doubt and fear, the Holy Spirit comes. While Jesus rebuked the disciples, right, for the lack of faith, you never see him saying, you know, you shouldn't be fearful at all. You never see him say that. Yeah, you're afraid, fine. But hey, I'm calling you in the midst of your doubt and fear. I'm calling you to something greater. And God's Spirit comes. He gives us His Holy Spirit, right? Comes into our lives. Communicates with us, with our spirit. Makes clear that vision that He has given to us. And at the end of the day, we can only say this, you know. I can't really describe it, but my heart was burning. Let me tell you what it is. It's God. It's a God thing. Indescribable. It's an encounter with God. You read the Scripture and you get up and you're, hey, I'm going to run across the bridge, you know, and tell my friend about it. That's exactly what these two guys did. Something happened. A God thing. And I pray that as we think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll think about daily having God encounters. Looking into the Scripture and say, hey, something's happening. My heart is beating faster. It's burning. And it caused me to do something else. It caused me to do a God thing. Because God is doing something with me. Let's bow our heads right now. As our heads are bowed, I'd like us to think about the cross. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper right now. What He has done for us. What Jesus has done for us. Body that was broken for us. Blood that was shed for us. To give us hope. But not only hope, but He gave us a call. Go. Something's about to change. And it will begin with you. Each one of us here in this room. Father, as we look at the emblems, we are reminded and we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Shed His blood for us. Not only that, but He will come again. And He has given us, Lord, hope. He has given us faith. Something's burning in our hearts. Thank you, God, for that. And as we partake of the bread and the cup right now, we pray, Lord, that we will take it in a worthy manner as we remember Jesus' death and also His resurrection. We give You thanks in Jesus' name.